This is a president who saw that the FBI director had lost the public confidence, the confidence of Republicans and Democrats.
This is not normal. This is not politics as usual.
Any attempt to stop or undermine this FBI investigation would raise grave constitutional issues.
My gosh, when are they going to let that go? There is no there there. It's time to move on.
Donald Trump doesn't want anyone coming any place close to an active investigation into the relationship between the Russians, the Trump campaign, and Donald Trump himself.
In the interim, I expect the FBI will continue to do its work. It is staffed by thousands of highly qualified professionals.
All of these actions are constitutional, but there's a really interesting and important question. What is a constitutional crisis?
Is this a constitutional crisis? This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. Thanks so much for listening. On Tuesday, President Donald Trump fired FBI Director James Comey. That's what you've been hearing since late yesterday. But did the commander-in-chief need permission to fire somebody? Let's look a little closer. Here's an excerpt from the letter the president sent to the FBI director yesterday. "While I greatly appreciate you informing me on three separate occasions," Trump wrote to Comey, "that I am not under investigation, I nevertheless concur with the judgment of the Department of Justice that you are not able to effectively lead the bureau." So the Department of Justice did this? They dismissed Comey and the president is simply agreeing? DOJ cited Comey's handling of the agency's investigation into Hillary Clinton's misuse of classified emails. But did the president need this DOJ cover to get rid of someone one would have thought he could easily have fired on his own? A delicate dance, to be sure. Is there a backstory here, or even a backstory? Here's one. In Congress, members say this has possibly interrupted or even interfered with a more sensitive investigation into the Trump campaign's connection with Russia and knowledge of Russian manipulation of the U.S. election, something the Trump administration denies, and ironically, something that Comey was being accused of interfering with the election by disclosing matters damaging to Hillary Clinton. Comey last week testified on the progress of those investigations. Perhaps that was on the itinerary for President Trump's meeting with Russian Foreign Minister Lavrov today. Each detail sorted and analyzed, and there are calls for an independent investigation. But for the moment, the president has the power to do what he did. And so Comey's long years at the Justice Department, constitutional crisis or not, are over. Todd Zwillick, Washington correspondent for The Takeaway. Reaction everywhere, I gather.
Yeah, reaction all over Capitol Hill, John, and you can imagine most senators who were in town saying that they were blindsided, shocked by this news. A couple members of the leadership said they got a brief heads up from the president before the firing was announced late yesterday afternoon. And now calls from Democrats, for the most part, although a few Republicans that I'll talk to you about, for a special prosecutor from the Justice Department. It would have to come from the Justice Department and newly installed Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein, who was approved by the Senate just days ago very easily. He's the one who has the authority to appoint a special prosecutor. Why? Because remember that James Comey, as head of the FBI, was leading that potentially criminal investigation into connections between the Trump campaign and Russians. We also learned on the same day that Comey was fired that grand jury subpoenas have come down from an investigation into Michael Flynn and his associates and their financial dealings. So that investigation and that criminal investigation is very, very real. Democrats are worried it will now get interrupted. Here's Chuck Schumer, the Democratic leader.
Are people going to suspect cover-up? Absolutely. If an independent special prosecutor is appointed, there still can be some faith that we can get to the bottom of this. If not, everyone will suspect cover-up.
But the Schumer's remarks, while predictable, aren't going to move anyone on the Republican side of the aisle in the Senate or the House.
No, that's unclear. Here's the Republican leadership that's not moving. Here's John Cornyn of Texas. He's the deputy Republican leader who I spoke to.
Obviously, there's some political spin going on here, but I thought the Rosenstein memorandum laid out the case for the president's action, and the president clearly had the authority to do what he did.
Well, laid out the case again, but this isn't going to be adjudicated. The question really is an investigation into Russian involvement by the Trump administration violated in any way? And that's the open question. It's the unanswered question.
It is. And don't forget, there are parallel and separate investigations. You still have the House and Senate intelligence committees investigating ties between the Trump campaign and Russia. Those aren't criminal investigations. They can't prosecute anybody. The chairman of that Senate committee, Richard Burr, said he was very troubled by the timing of James Comey's firing. And the vice chairman, the Democrat, Mark Warner of Virginia, said he absolutely wants a special prosecutor. But John, I counted 10 Republicans today saying they're not comfortable with how this firing was done and what it might mean. Now, none of them have said that they're going to do anything about it, join Democrats in demanding a special prosecutor or using their votes to force leadership or the president to do that, which they could do. But those voices are out there. Here's Jeff Flake. He's a conservative member of the Judiciary Committee. He's from Arizona.
I just don't know why this happened now. I'm having trouble with it still. So with regard to the special prosecutor, I'm looking to see how that would impact the Senate investigation that's going on.
Does that worry translate into action?
That's the question. Democrats do potentially have levers. They could join together and refuse to let the Senate do any work quickly until they get a special prosecutor. There are calls to potentially stand in the way of any FBI nominee unless and until a special prosecutor is appointed. John Cornyn said such a position would be ridiculous. And so the question is, where does it go from there? In the meantime, John, we had the president earlier today before meeting with Russian officials retreating to the White House, tweeting insults of Democratic senators, including Richard Blumenthal, and some comments that Blumenthal had made years ago in his campaign about serving in Vietnam. I asked Blumenthal if the president's insults and tweets meant anything to him.
His bullying won't silence my calls for an independent special prosecutor.
But the irony here is that the Democrats were reviling Comey over his investigation and disclosure of the Clinton email investigation just before the election. And back then, that was when Trump was saying he had all kinds of confidence in James Comey. It's
no question.
Reversed completely.
No question. And Democrats were reviling Comey more recently than that. As John McCain said to a big group of us earlier today, John, role reversal is a way of life around here, and I suppose that it is. And we'll see if calls for a special prosecutor spread to Republicans and enough Republicans who might be up for re-election, like Jeff Flake, to see where this goes within the FBI. It's really up to Rod Rosenstein at this point.
All we're certain of here is that Comey's looking for a job. Thanks so much, Todd Zwillick, Takeaway Washington correspondent.
You bet, John.
So how does this happen? Paul McNulty is a former deputy attorney general of the U.S. from 05 to 07 and former U.S. attorney for the Eastern District of Virginia from 01 to 05. For him, the memo outlining Director Comey's handling of the Clinton case is the key to what's going on. Yet even he believes it's a strange way to go about this action.
I find the memorandum from Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein to be especially interesting in all of this. It's certainly in itself highly unusual and yet worded in very strong way has a recommendation that the attorney general and the president dismiss the FBI director. So I think it's the place to start in trying to sort out what's all going on here.
Is this the kind of thing that Donald Trump and the president might have had in his back pocket as sort of an ace if he decided he didn't like Comey? This seems like something that could have been decided a long time ago.
Yeah, I mean, we don't know what the president has been thinking, and I've read a number of reports of different comments the president's made at different times, so it's hard to know what to make of all of that. But it does appear as though the key driving facts here have to do with the assessment made by the new deputy attorney general. You have to remember that Rod Rosenstein has only been in office less than a month. He was confirmed by the Senate almost unanimously, so he's very well respected. And then you have the, as you mentioned, John, the hearing and the latest issue associated with the number of documents that may have been emailed from Secretary Clinton's assistant to her husband and the inaccuracy in those statements as being a significant fallout from that hearing. You have these things coming together at one time here that seem to really be the catalyst for the action.
The question of the president and the independence of the FBI, what's your assessment of that? Is the FBI supposed to be on some level, you know, relatively independent of the, I mean, obviously the president can fire just about anybody. I mean, I think he can fire anybody. You know, there's no HR to come to his defense. But You know, in this case, isn't there some expectation that the FBI is slightly different than other positions?
Oh, no question. The FBI has to have a reputation of independence and does have independence. I think that when you really look at the operations of the FBI, the thousands of agents that are in the United States and around the world, the work they do every day, they do operate independently. Now, they answer to the Department of Justice and to prosecutors in their investigations. And one of the things that is complicated about all that's going on right now is that, and relates back to the Hillary Clinton matter, is that the investigators don't call all the shots. The investigators play a very critical role in any particular matter, but ultimately they report up to a prosecutor overseeing an investigation. And so in the case, for example, of the Russia matter, it's ultimately being supervised by the Deputy Attorney General. And so with or without this director of the FBI, the career FBI agents who act independently every day and will continue to be independent, will continue their investigation.
If you'll forgive me, that really makes absolutely no sense. I mean, yes, the machine will keep running without the head, but if the boss at the Justice Department, who has recused himself from the Russia investigations, supports this firing, and the president, who is the object of the investigation, is the person who signs the memo and basically cuts the head off the FBI, I mean, this looks dreadful. It looks absolutely as though Donald Trump is controlling an investigation into his own possible, you know, financial collusion. We don't even know about that, but certainly the Russian case.
You know, I understand that the appearance of this is what has everyone stirred up, and that's understandable. And that's something that has to be taken into consideration when any action is taken. But I just know from my own experience how investigations operate and the level of independence that career agents have.
I have no concern about lower level people at the FBI, you know, from, you know, parking attendants all the way up to the deputy, as you're talking about. It's the question of the credibility of the president himself and the Department of Justice. The American people are going to have a real difficult time figuring out what's going on here. I mean, isn't that fair to say? I mean, you know, the kinds of things that you've said, I understand, but this just does not look like a procedural matter here.
Yeah, I mean, when you're dealing with these kinds of things in public service, one of the big challenges is recognizing that certain aspects will be more easily understood, or there will be conclusions reached, and that some aspects will be difficult to communicate. Those are the kind of things that leaders have to regularly wrestle with. And I agree with you that as this unfolds over the next several days and however longer, that you know, there will be aspects of it that will be hard to understand. And ultimately, my experience, the truth of the matter comes sort of forth. And if indeed it is that the deputy attorney general has taken action because he believes that the FBI needs a different leader, then that I think will emerge as the key story. But it remains to be seen as to how public opinion develops as a result of all of this.
Paul McNulty is former Deputy Attorney General of the United States from 2005 to 2007. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, John.
Hi, this is Mike from Richburg, South Carolina. For what it's worth, a lot of the country is behind Trump right now. And Comey needed to go. He was elusive and not straightforward during the hearings. He needed to go.
Hi, Sheila from Michigan. Trump will never be my president. Every single thing he does, including the Comey firing, is insane. And I'm just tired of him. I can't wait until the investigation finds something so that we can impeach him, because I know it's there.
Norn writes on Twitter, what scares me most is that they don't even pretend to care about optics. You don't do this and plan to win fair elections. Tweet us your thoughts. We're at The Takeaway. Give us a call at 877-8-MY-TAKE. More on Comey. Stay with us.